Well, I still want to continue on with spiritual warfare. It's very important. I believe that we need to continue with pushing back principalities and powers in this area. You know, we're on pushback. We're on possession. We're pressing in. That's what the Lord has told us to do, press in, push back, press in, possess the land. And so we have to continue with that and continue letting the Word of God be active in our lives to change circumstances and situations. Praise His wonderful name. Father, we just pray that Your Word today would just come to us clearly. Father, we would understand it. And that, Father, that we would be willing to apply it first to ourselves and then assisting others, Father. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, it's a few weeks ago since I ministered on spiritual warfare. I think it was about somewhere in December. I used a church website to check up when it was, where I got to. Hallelujah. And we were talking that the Word of God is food for us. It gives us life. And that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone. Who's had breakfast this morning? Not everybody? Are you on prayer and fasting? Well, praise God for that. That's good. I had breakfast. It was a little bit late, but I had breakfast. And but the other thing that is more important is the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone. You've eaten today, haven't you? And it's important that you eat daily of this Word of God. That you partake of the Word of God. That you read the Word of God, that you let the Word of God speak to you, and you let the Word of God rest in you. Yes. It is so important. And you know, when Jesus was challenged by the devil in the wilderness and said, turn these stones into bread, and Jesus said to him, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen. The creator of all things. By every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That is where we get our life. Yep. That is who we become. That is who we are. Yep. You see, what you listen to, you become it. I've seen it historically over many years. Children who've been brought up in families, and they get told, oh, you'll just be like your dad, a drunk, alcoholic, drug addict, a time waster. And that, you know, that is just speaking curses into people's lives. Today, we, as believers in the Lord Jesus, need to watch our tongue. James says, the tongue, although it's just a small thing, isn't it? You know what I mean? Most of the time you don't see it, do you? Let's be honest. How often do you see your tongue? Only, you know, sometimes you might be cleaning your teeth and you might think, oh, you stick your tongue out and have a look at it in the mirror. You know, the doctor often says to you, when you go for him, let me have a look at your tongue. Surprising what he can tell by that tongue. What it's been feeding on. What is going on inside. Where it lives. What is your spiritual tongue feeding on? And when you feed on the Word of God and you feed on the things of God, you cause your physical tongue to speak life. It says in James that your tongue can actually set a forest on fire. Yes. Just a few words and families don't speak for generations to one another. Just a few words. Maybe not meant. Maybe spoken in haste. Maybe spoken in jest. But somebody takes an offence. So we need to watch what we say. Even more so as Christians, as believers, you and I need to watch what we say. Listen to what we say. Listen to our confession. You know, we say over the years we've said silly things like, you've been out walking and you come home and say, my feet are killing me. Don't you? Hello?
Yeah.
Is there anybody here today, or is it just cardboard cutouts I've got? Or are you just the chosen frozen because I know it's a bit cool? Who said, you know, have you ever said that? My feet are killing me. Oh, hey. You do, don't you? Oh, I'm dying for a drink. I could kill for a Yorkie bar. Come on, I mean, we've said some of these daft things, don't we? We don't, you know, and we think it's just light-hearted stuff. But Jesus said, no, there's power in your words. You know, when the centurion went to Jesus and he met Jesus, he said, you don't need to come. You don't need to come to my house. All you need to do is say the word. Speak it out. And it shall be done.
Amen.
Whoa. And Jesus said, greater works shall you do in his name. Because he's going to the Father. And so when you start to add and put these things together, you have to begin to realize that there is power in this tongue that God has given to you. But the thing is, we need to make sure that what is feeding our tongue? Most of us think it's our brain. And we hear constantly on the news all this fear mongering. This might be going wrong. The numbers are up here. The numbers are going up. This is happening. Constantly. Fear, fear, fear. And God has said 365 times, at least in his word, fear not. And I said the other week, when the children of Israel were living in the land of Egypt, yeah, and God sent those 10 plagues, not one of those plagues touched his children.
No. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
We need to come to a place where we're standing under that covering.
Yeah.
Where we're standing under the wings of the Almighty God. We're standing under the protection of the Word of God and realize the power of the Word of God that is covering over us and protecting us and keeping us day by day.
Yeah.
Glory to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's it. When you're in relationship with him, you are covered by him. You are protected by him.
Yeah.
He holds our hand. Praise his wonderful name. He said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you.
Absolutely.
You know, we said the other day, I think it was, or I think I wrote it on, I lose track where I write things these days, on Messenger, Psalm 23, walking through a valley of a shadow of death. It's only a shadow. The reality is we have eternal life in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's the reality. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm going to live forever.
I'm going to live forever.
Amen. That's what it says in the Bible. I'm going to live forever. Are you?
I am.
Glory to God. So praise his wonderful name. You know, the word that God gives to us, we're to speak it out. It's life. It's the power of the Spirit. Ephesians 6 and verse 17 says, the sword of the Spirit. This is the word of God. Your Bibles. Whatever. If you haven't got a Bible yet, get a Bible. Get something that you can write in. Get something that you can highlight. Get something that becomes yours.
Yeah.
And I know folk will say, well, I can get it on my phone. Wait while your phone crashes. Wait while the software won't update. Wait while the battery goes flat. Wait while you drop it down the toilet and it's not waterproof. And everything you've got has just gone down the toilet. Battery don't go flat on this one.
No.
Software never gets out of date.
No.
Don't take ages for it to turn on.
No.
You know, literally, you just go like that and it's on. Wow. I'm straight there. All my notes are still in here. All my highlightings are still there. It was written over 2,000 years ago and still does not need an upgrade. There are no bugs in it.
No.
Don't crash you in any way.
No.
You know, they're always updating the software on the phone, aren't they? You know, there's another update. What do I need another update for? Oh, well, it's to fix these bugs in the system. Thank God when God wrote His word, there were no bugs in the system.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The trouble is man thinks he can mend it. You see, the word of God's not broken and man keeps trying to change it. Ah, well, God didn't really mean that. God meant what He said.
He did.
We'll not go into that. Otherwise, we'll be off somewhere else, won't we? Hallelujah. Psalm 119 and verse 130. Psalm 119 and verse 130 says, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Hallelujah. In other words, it's written so we can understand it. It's not meant to be complicated. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, is not complicated. But it is a mystery. And that mystery we have to go into the presence of God to work through the mystery, because it is not for every eye to see. It is not for every eye to behold. He's written it for His children to see, those who are of the Spirit of God. Problem is, with you and I, we so often, I know when Tracy went into hospital some time back, the first thing they did when she arrived in hospital was remove her mobile phone from her hand, take the remote control off her and said, don't watch any of that stuff, don't listen to any of that stuff, and your life will sort itself out a lot quicker. Even the medical people know the amount of negativity. If you feed on negative things, you will become negative. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
I remember when I worked in industry, I had a boss and he was a little bit negative, bless him. I was always the positive one. I was always looking for, yeah, we can do that. We can do that. I said, oh, I don't know about that. Yeah, we can. Yeah. He said, why are you always like this? I never give up.
No.
Oh, I've been close to it. So far, I've not given up.
Never will.
I'm a bit like a bulldog, you know. I just gets its teeth and it's like,
you
know. I mean, I'm not a high tech person, but sometimes I get on the computer and starts acting up. Or Grace says, "Fix this." Great, you know. So I go in and play around with a few things, and then suddenly I fixed it. I can, but I'll have a go at it.
Amen.
I will, you know. A man made it, and another man can fix it. Glory to God, you know. So we have to continue to keep pressing in. And when the Spirit of God is upon us, we can do great things in Christ Jesus. We can see God moving in power, changing people's lives. But the Word of God comes into us and it brings light. It brings understanding. It opens your soul to receive the things of God. It allows you to see God in a different way. See, the world sees God in one way. Yeah, the disciple sees God in a different way. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet when we come to Christ, we walk in the light. See, before we came to Christ, we were walking in darkness. We couldn't understand things. It was all too complicated. It was challenging. It was difficult. Why is all this happening? Because you're walking in the wrong way. You're walking with the wrong people. You're walking with the wrong spirit. But when you put your hands and put your trust in God and you begin to walk and you begin to read the Word of God, because as we said right at the beginning, your Word brings light. How many of us need more light? Yeah. We need more light. We live in a world filled with darkness. And so to change that, we need to come to a place where there's more light in our lives. Sometimes you might say, well, I'm struggling a bit to read my Word. Well, get some praise and worship songs on.
Yeah.
There's a story of King Jehoshaphat. I love that king. Oh, I think, you know, so simple in some ways, but he was so enthusiastic for God. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 20 and verse 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20 and verse 20. There we find the enemy has come against them. And God speaks to him and says, what I want you to do, he says, you're going to win today. But he said, you're not going to have to fight.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, but what I want you to do, I want you to put the praise and worshippers up front.
Yeah.
I want you to put those that sing and dance and praise me with all of their heart. I want them up front praising me.
Yeah.
And you'll see the enemy begin to run. So he announced to the gathering of the army and the congregation that was with him, and he said, right, this morning our tactic will be, and everybody's thinking, we're going to put the heavy guys up front. We're going to push through. We're going to have that breakthrough. And he said, we're going to put the singers.
Yeah.
And everybody went, what? They'll get mowed down. They'll be just cannon fodder. And he says, no, we're going to put the singers up front. We are going to put praise in front of us.
Amen.
We're going to put that barrier. We're going to put that force field of praise. And we are going to push back the enemy from our borders. Well, it says the Lord set an ambush. They just sang and danced and rejoiced and marched in the singing. And God did the work. And so it's the Word of God that is important. It's that praise, it's that worship that we have to stand on the promises of God. You know, so often as we get to that point, we say, oh, I'm worried about so-and-so. I'm worried about this. Stop worrying. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. It says, cast all your cares upon God. What does that word cast mean? When you look at it in the Hebrew and Greek text, it means, and this is a fisherman's term, it means that when he's out in his boat fishing, he has to cast his net out. He don't just suddenly go overside. That's not casting. They literally took their net, and it had some weights on it, and they hurled it out from the boat with all of their might. Cast. They were casting, and they cast their net out. And God is saying to you, with your worries, cast them on me. Hurl them upon God. He's far more able and capable to deal with any worry, any concern that you might have, any problem that you might have. God is able. But the fact is, when you've cast it, don't hold on to the rope and start pulling it back in. Don't do that. Because all you're going to do is you're going to catch more worry. And bring more worry in. It says, hurl it, cast it as far away. As far as the east is from the west. They never meet. East and west never meet. They're just going in two opposite directions. Sometimes we say, and I think I mentioned this the other week, about being sick. And Grace came in that day and thought, he's not stopping in bed. She laid hands on me and prayed. And then the next thing, I'm laid there thinking, well, I've got to stand on that prayer. I've got to trust God. So I had to get up. And you know, those symptoms were gone when I walked on that promise, when I walked in that prayer. But you see, if I'd have stayed in bed, I would have been agreeing with the way I was feeling. And part of me was thinking, oh, this bed's nice and warm. You know, I could just stay here and be sick. But let's be honest, we don't enjoy being sick, do we?
No.
I know I don't. So I got up and I stood on the promise of that prayer. And it's only when I got out of bed and started to move and got dressed that I became the healed.
Amen.
That it manifested in my body. I was already healed according to the Word of God, but I needed to jump into the healing suit and let it be manifest in this body. And so we need to step into the promises of God. We need to step into the Word of God. You see, Jesus said, it says in the Word, that by the stripes that the Lord Jesus received, you were healed. Don't say, you're going to be healed. It says, you are healed now. We now have to step into that. We have to walk in that healing. We have to walk in our deliverance. We have to walk in our salvation that Jesus has purchased on the cross.
Amen.
You have to be active, proactive with the Word of God. There has to be some, for want of a better word, there has to be some chemistry with the Word of God and you. Leonard and I, at times for different jobs, we use this thing called araldite. That was the word I was looking for. That was the word I was looking for. That's two compounds. Both are sticky, gooey. But on their own, they only ever remain sticky and gooey.
Yeah,
they just Yeah, they're just an irritation, aren't they? You know, on their own, they're just a sticky irritation and you just want to get rid of it. But when they come together in equal parts and they're mixed, within a few minutes and a few hours to come to full strength, they change. And they suddenly become a strong, adhesive compound. And when you mix it and you stick two broken parts together, they become one again.
Yeah.
And that joint becomes strong. You know, we were broken parts. Jesus came into our lives. And when Jesus came into our lives, He came in to fix us. To put us back together. To make us whole. And we need the Word of God. We need Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit. Those compounds coming together in our lives. And it brings strength. It brings wholeness. It brings relief to us. By His stripes I am healed. I've said before, you know, we talk about being afraid of this, I'm afraid to go there, I'm afraid to do this, I'm afraid of that. The Word of God says, fear not. Don't be afraid. Remember that Jesus is that Prince of Peace. He's your Prince of Peace. But for it to work, you have to get into some relationship with Him. To live in this, you have to own it in Christ.
Yeah.
You have to spend that time with Him in the Word. Spend that time listening to the voice of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
We're not defeated.
No.
The Word of God tells us you are more than a conqueror.
Yeah.
More than a conqueror. We need to lean back and trust God. We need to realize that God has done a work for us and that we are resting in His everlasting arms. We are protected by God.
Yeah.
You can look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 4 through to 6. The second book of Corinthians chapter 10 verses 4 through to 6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not earthly weapons, but they are mighty in God to the pulling down of spiritual strongholds, casting down imaginations, casting down arguments. You know, sometimes you can be an argumentative bunch. You can have an imagination that gets in the way. And the devil will use that to stop you. Oh, I don't think I'm good enough. That's right. You're not good enough. But Christ, through His blood, through His death on the cross, when you came to Him, made you good enough. You're good enough.
I am.
You see, you are a chosen vessel. God has chosen you.
Yeah.
God is calling you for service.
Yeah.
Are you ready for service?
I am.
Are you prepared to walk in service for Him?
I am.
Casting down arguments, imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4 through to 6. Casting down arguments, imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Yeah.
And to be ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Bringing every thought into captivity. David started off a bit earlier on about the fanatic in the attic. It's my mind.
Yeah.
Bing! Oh. Don't you? Every time. Bing! You're looking at the phone. Fanatic in the attic. God does not need to ping you.
No.
He speaks through His Word by His Spirit to you. God wants to empower you, not to ping you.
Amen. Amen.
God does not want to drain your time, He wants to empower your time.
Yeah.
That's what He wants to do. So you have to take every thought. You have to be master of the remote control. You have to be master of the computer. You have to be master of the phone. You have to be master of your mind.
That's it.
Bring in every thought into captivity to the Word of God.
Yeah.
You stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
You stop it. If it's not godly, don't look at it. If it's not godly, don't listen to it. If it's not godly, don't read it. God wants you to know the power and the presence of God. God wants you to walk in His very presence, knowing Him whom to know is life eternal. I was reading some information that came through from my friend the prophet Marty Gaber and his wife in the States, who we have a relationship with. And he'd been seeking the Lord for the last few months on 2022.
Yeah.
I'm just going to bring one thought. I shall bring some others later on as we begin to go through the year. And one of his thoughts was that the Lord was saying was, leave out the cop-out. Leave out the cop-out. And he explains it like this. If you spend any time around little children, you will realize that they are champions at excuses for not obeying or completing a task. Ever noticed that?
Yeah.
You know, something, but, you know, but, I mean, sorry sister, I'm going to do this one. We used to have the job at home. Wiping the pots. Mum worked, Dad worked, so we used to have to wipe the pots. And we used to take turns at it. Often my sister, when it was her turn to wipe the pots, would simply say, oh, I'm just nipping to the toilet. Well, by that, you know, the pots were drying well, let me tell you. Now and again I would sort of go looking for her. And there she would be upstairs, bless her, with her beautiful long hair in front of the mirror. She had real long hair, real dark long hair. And she'd be busy dealing with her hair, etc. The pots had, you know, it weren't going to happen. So I just went down and wiped the pots, bless her. Oh, she's made, yeah. Well, you see, be sure your sins will find you out. And you know, she's had to make up for it in different ways. But, you know, great excuses of dodging things and not doing it and making a reason why not to get involved. And he goes on to say, if we allow if it's allowed to carry out that fall back into the future without being expected to fulfill requirements put upon them, it will result in their failure in tasks and in the proper development of their character. So in other words, if you allow children to carry on and people to carry on not doing, not fulfilling the promises and things of that nature, they'll just live the rest of their life being like that, never taking responsibility, never completing what they said they were going to do, starting something yet never finishing. Have you met them people? Start a job, never finish it. We've got a job started, we haven't finished it yet. There's a load of them at home as well. Glory to His grace is just reminding me. But, you know, we're still here and we're still moving forward on them. But, you know, what is your character like? Are you a starter and not a finisher? Or are you going to be those people that start something and say, I'm going to see this through to the end? You see, when you trust God and the promises of God, when God gives you a promise, you've started in it.
Yeah.
Now you've got to see it through.
Yeah.
Till it comes to its fullness, till it comes to its end.
Yeah.
25 years, the promise of a building. Most folk would have said, forget it. I'm not going to keep hanging on to this one. I'll look for something else. We started on it, but it didn't happen, so we'll move on. We hung on to it. And it's come. Praise His wonderful name. And God is going to fill and do His work. You know, I had somebody contact me just a day or so ago, asked me what time the service was. I'll see you on Sunday. They haven't come. It's easy to write it. Easy to write it. Easy to make a promise, never be there. I've had people over the years, he said to them, Will you be able to do this? Oh yeah, I'll see you. I could have had more broken hearts. When I hear people say, yeah, I just think, I heard that. But did I hear it? What did I hear? And I listened beyond the words. You see, what you say and what you do have got to come together. Otherwise, they've got nothing about them. There's no power in them. And we want people to develop a character and a spiritual character in God that when they start something, they're going to finish this. When we start spiritual warfare, we're going to go through and we're going to see the enemy defeated. When we start ministering to people, we're going to see this happen. We're going to see God working, moving, healing, completing a ministry work in the lives of men and women.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to realise, it says, our utter dependence on God, as long as we don't shift it to humble recognition, to excuse. We're not going to be people who make things an excuse. You know, we rely on God because His promises are true. We rely on God to take us through. But we're going to be proactive in our doing with God. But our reliance, we trust God and that He will take us through. When you come to Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, Now, O Lord my God, You have made Your servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a lad in wisdom and experience. I know not how to go out, in other words, I don't know how to begin, or to come in, I don't know how to finish. That's what the Amplified says. This is the expression of King Solomon. He was just a young boy, a young teenager, and he became king. And he's asking God, how do I do it? And he's asking God, give me wisdom. You know, this was a great nation that he had to lead. And God gave him the wisdom. And God said, because you've asked just for wisdom, you've not asked for riches, you've not asked for power, you've not asked for all this fame and fortune. But he said, because you've asked for wisdom to lead these people, he said, I'm going to give you all of these other things. Hallelujah. Yeah. You see, in God there is an abundance. But don't focus on the getting of riches and fame and fortune. Focus on that relationship of wisdom and righteousness in God. Yeah. Righteousness is a word that people don't really understand these days. Right living in God, right living, right relationship with Father God. And so Solomon desired for that wisdom. No experience or knowledge matters. It's having that relationship, having that God speaking. You know, we're in 2022. And Marty goes on to say, and many feel that they do not know how to walk out 2022. Because the last couple of years have proven to be matters and circumstances that we have never had to walk out before. Proclaiming, not knowing how to begin or end, a thing shouldn't be an excuse, but rather an acknowledgement of who does. Who does know? Our Lord. He knows how to walk this year out. He knows how to start this year. He knows how to finish this year as well. God has a plan. God has a purpose. He says, then if we know who does know how to begin and end the things, we can yield to Him, God, and His principles of enabling for and completing mandates and making necessary adjustments in preferences, appetites, and emotions. We need to trust God. Yeah. We need to trust God. Yeah. His wife added to this and said, Kathy said, if you are battle weary, and I got to admit, back end of last year I was feeling battle weary. I'm honest. You know, I'm not invincible. When I say that, it always reminds me of that James Bond film. I think was it GoldenEye? And the guy there with the pen. I'm invincible, you know, flicking his pen around. And at the end, he gets blasted by liquid nitrogen. He's frozen to death. And then something just hits him and he just, because of the liquid nitrogen, he just crashes to nothing. I'm invincible. You know. Only God's invincible. I'm fragile. I'm delicate. I have emotions, believe it or not. I have a soft heart. But love sometimes has to be strong and bring correction. And Kathy goes on to say, you know, if you're battle weary, I believe the new year will bring welcome changes. I'm not implying battles will stop suddenly and everybody will go on vacation. I am saying many long-term battles will end because you finally win.
Yeah.
Have you read the end of the book?
Yeah.
Have you read the end of the Bible?
Yeah.
We win.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We're victorious. Christ has done the job.
Yeah.
Christ has completed the work. We just need to walk in its footsteps. She goes on to say, unrelenting disappointment leaves you heartsick, but a sudden good break can turn life around. I can expect some sudden good breaks in this year to come. That's a confession, isn't it? I'm expecting some sudden good breaks to come. You know, the Bible says on Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 12. Proverbs 13 and verse 12. And taking this from the Living Bible because I like the way it explains it. The Living Bible says this of Proverbs hope deferred makes the heart sick. You know, when you're hoping for something, it don't seem to be happening. You get despondent, despair. And the writer says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when dreams come true at last, there is life and joy. Have you had that experience when you've been hoping for something, you've been literally dreaming for something, and it happens?
Yeah.
Joy bursts up, doesn't it? There's an excitement.
Yeah.
But if it's always being put off, if it's always standing in the wings, if it's always waiting, but God's going to change the waiting, and God is going to bring it to birth. God is going to cause it to happen. God is going to cause the battles to cease. God is going to cause a breakthrough to come in our lives. Praise His wonderful name.
Amen.
And today, let us, there's Proverbs 13 and verse 3, the Amplified says this, the one who guards his mouth, what does that mean? The one who thinks before he speaks, protects his life. The one who opens his lips wide and chatters without thinking comes to ruin. That's why gossiping is a bad thing in church. We don't need to gossip about people. We need to be praying. We need to be praying. Guard your mouth. The tongue. We started off with the tongue. You start thinking something up here and the next thing your tongue's speaking it out. Start thinking here in your spirit. Let the word of God be spoken out. Speak the word of God out. Speak life and not death.
Amen.
Life and death is in the power of the tongue. You and I need to speak the word of God. The word of God is life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. John's Gospel chapter 10 and verse 10. I have come that you might have life and have it to an abundance. That's what he's come for. He's come that you might have life with an abundance. And I pray that today, as we listen to the word of God, as we follow Jesus, as we get the word of God into our hearts and into our lives, we shall receive something from God that is divine, that is powerful, that is life changing, not just to you, but to anybody that you come into contact with. See, I'm not here to play church. Because if we only want to play church, then I'm not coming. We are the church. The people of a living God. Don't play church. Don't play fast and loose with God. Because God knows exactly what you are thinking. I don't. But guess what? God knows what you plan to do tomorrow. God knows even the very sins that we think about before we do them. I don't. But He does. Guard your hearts and your minds. Let the Word of God be a washing and a cleansing in you. Because that's what the Word of God does. Romans 12. The washing of your heart and your mind through the Word of God. It cleanses us. But so often we listen to so much of the world and we become polluted by the world, and we need the Word to wash us and cleanse us to walk in His presence.
Amen.
Let's just pray a moment. Father, we just thank You for Your presence. We thank You, Lord, for Your word to us. Father, I pray that You would just flow in our lives in a new way. Father, I pray there would be a greater hunger and thirsting for You and for Your word. And that, Lord, this week You would reveal Yourself in a new way to us, to each individual, Father. Reveal Yourself. in a new way, Father, I pray. Father, I pray you give them a heart to seek you, to know you, whom to know is life eternal. Just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.